An array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Feel that things were not quite right, that everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning, warning.
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started? Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings!
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so obvious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop! And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all!
Revolution Radio of freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio! The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Hey, Aaron, how are you?
Good, thank you. How are you doing tonight, Ed?
I'm doing pretty good, thanks. What is new?
Oh, what's new? A lot of cyber ransomware floating around the area that I'm in these days. We had a hospital system, which is scary because I work for a hospital system, that got hit with what sounds to be like a kind of a nasty ransomware variant. Comes in and bunches and grips everything but steals it. So the threat isn't that they're not going to have access to it, but they're going to be able to publish people's sensitive medical information. And that's even scarier.
They're going to publish whether or not you have high cholesterol, you've had a heart attack, you're...
Well, not just that. I mean, it could be like anything that could... maybe not well known is the public personal health information is used for insurance fraud. So it's high dollar theft, in particular around medications, particularly painkillers. So it's about the drugs. It's a little scary. It wasn't my system, but. Our hearts go out to them because we're all in the same fight. Bad guys targeting everybody. And this is not soon after my kids' own school district also in the area, was hit by ransomware. So, yeah, it's Christmas time. Guess Steve's got to buy gifts, too. So this is how they make their money. And, yeah, exciting times.
Wow. That is, so you think this came out right in time for the holidays so they could make some money and do all this?
Oh, for sure. They, you know, they're like everybody else. Got to buy gifts. You know.
So they have a heart, you know.
Yeah, you know, they got to buy Rolexes for their mistresses and whatnot.
Ah, right. So it's all about, okay, wow. So I know that malware, phishing, and cyber ransomware is just going off the charts.
It is going off the charts, clearly. It is going off the charts. It's ever more popular these days. It's actually, you know, I understand the a lot of the positives that people see around Bitcoin, but it's also one of the negatives. It's untraceable currency, which means it's popular for criminals. So that happens.
Hey.
And go ahead.
Have you heard of the new Pi coin? Have you heard of that?
No, I haven't heard of Pi coin.
You have not. So it's an algorithm based, and the idea is that they wanted so many subscribers and so many people in it. It's kind of like a they have miners, and it's like a pyramid scheme of sorts. That except for you don't put any money in, you just mine. You mine.
I mean that's any Bitcoin.
Right, but you don't. But it's not based on how fast or powerful your computer is. You have the this mine button. You have an app on your phone and you mine every day.
And I think that's the same as every Bitcoining thing. I mean, it's distributed mining. There's a lot of schemes to do that for Bitcoin. It's just a different Coinbase.
Yeah, but I thought under Bitcoin you could scan 24/7 and you could have the fastest. You know, you could set it up to run through and find. You can uncover things. You can mine and find things faster if you have a faster machine, right?
I mean, it's just processing, right? So I mean, like any of these blockchains has to do with like the next hardest number to find in a sequence,
right? Well, apparently this is different. The playing field has been leveled. That you can only
if the playing field's leveled, that actually works against it because it means it's easy to solve, which means it's an unlimited number. Pi coin limitations the point. Four reasons why you should and should not jump on PiCoin. This just came out last year. The latest coin cryptocurrency plays. Reasons why you should not download the Pi mobile app. You're an old school Warren type of investor. You don't want another app on your phone. You may find it annoying to mine. And it's limited capability at the moment. What are the plus reasons? You've got serious fear of missing out. You are the crazy tech evangelist. Like the base mining rate of Bitcoin, early adopters will earn more coin per hour than those who join later. That's all. I mean, that's all it is. It's going to be a Pi coin on my app, call you pioneers, which will earn you to earn at about 0.8 Pi rate per hour, while by the time it hit 1 million, the rate is halved. So, yeah, it's just your early adopters. And it shows the mining rate going down. So that's all the reason why Pi token supply, it's mining plus R plus D, development rewards. It's a logarithmically declining function. Yeah, it's just the same as everything else. So logarithmically means it's kind of like decaying at a certain nonlinear rate.
Sure.
So it's going to have sudden drop offs. So that's all. It's just a different Coinbase. That's the thing. Once Bitcoin gets all mined up, once all the easier ones are being found, the coin miners have to move on to new currency. The drawback to the new currency is people have to know about it to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why Bitcoin is accepted is because people have heard about it. I think is it Breitcoin? It's another one out there.
It is, yes.
So yeah, the more they've heard of your cryptocurrencies, the more likely someone will be accepting your cryptocurrency. If they don't haven't heard of it, then it's, you might have the rarest metal in the universe, but if no one's heard of that rare metal, someone's going to take it. Ethereum, Ripple, Litecoin, Tether, Bitcoin Cash, Libra, I haven't heard of. Monero, EOS. The 10 most important cryptocurrencies other than Bitcoin, so saith Investopedia. So yeah, it's just one more scheme. I don't know. Are you a believer in cryptocurrency being a thing, or is it always going to be what it is now, sort of niche?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know where it's going to head. I know that it's got some. I mean, it's got a lot. It's got some positives and negatives, right? It's got the positive that, you know, the ledgers of all the banks, you know, they're kind of all spread throughout, so that you don't really need this brick and mortar building. You don't need all this money in a safe necessarily. That you know, you, as long as you have this idea of money somewhere, and that other people can vouch for you, and there's lots of tables that can vouch for you that you have this thing that's called money. That's an interesting idea. Unfortunately, it also means that because there's no brick and mortar building, you really don't have to, you know, show ID to get your money necessarily. And
well, the big thing is that it provides is a way to do untrackable,
right,
electronic transactions.
Right, that's the problem.
And all the positives and all the negatives. Not a lot of people, probably on Revolution Radio, aren't terribly interested in having the government track their transaction. You know, and it's a very libertarian premise that you could have a money supply that works online that isn't something that someone can track.
Right.
So I get the promise of it. And it's just like everything else, like that's a double-edged sword. The promise is the could be the poison for folks like the situation I'm in, where you got to protect the like, hospital system. should currency be untrackable? We become a very different society if it is. If everything is like scout's honor with taxes, you have to have a different way of paying into services. And maybe that's just the answer. Maybe it's not taxation as an obligation, but taxation as a recipient of service. An example of that is fire companies, and there are some of them out there that are strictly subscription-based. You don't subscribe to the fire company service, they're not showing up. So that's a thought. You could have a system based on that, and you know, all roads could be like toll. Pay a little Bitcoin to get on a toll road. you know, you don't necessarily need to fund any sort of public utility company. It could just be private. We got a lot of private utilities. I mean, they're regulated, but you know, you don't necessarily. That's not like a cosmic law. They've got to be a regulated entity. It could be just a person-to-person arrangement. So I get it. You know, I get the promise of it. I do think they're kind of complicated and clunky to use, and I think that will definitely limit who can use them.
Who accepts Bitcoin right now?
You can actually, like, I think PayPal does do Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
I got to check that because I don't want to speak. But I think PayPal.
So anything that you can use PayPal for, you can use
PayPal. Cover crypto with PayPal. So cryptocurrency on PayPal, fact. We announced that PayPal users in the U.S. can buy, sell, and hold cryptocurrencies directly through PayPal. So yes, indeed. Which is unsurprising. I mean, PayPal is essentially a proto... not cryptocurrency per se, but you know, online digital financial you know, scheme or search or whatever. So that's not too surprising. And, you know, a lot of people sort of do like the idea of it's my earnings, my business. Like, why should I be telling people about it? It I think, will be presenting a bigger and bigger problem for government because they can all say all that they want. Well, Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, they're assets. We declare them assets. They're real. They aren't just like, you know, coins, like are like points in Frogger. You know,
right.
If you put a million Bitcoin, that means something in a way that having the high score on the asteroids doesn't mean anything.
It's not Chuck E. Cheese tokens.
It's not Chuck E. Cheese tokens. Right. So being it's not Chuck E. Cheese tokens, they're declaring that they can tax you on it. Does that mean they actually can tax you on it? Well, they got to find it first. Are they going to see your BitWallet? Who are you telling about your BitWallet? You know, it's not something that tracks easy. It's not. It's designed not to be tracked, and that is the positive, and that is the negative. So I don't know. I don't know that they're going to be able to feasibly really tax Bitcoin. If people declare it, like if you've got a bank. Because that's one of the moves that I think makes a lot of sense of Bitcoin to get around money exchange fees.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're Deutsche Bank and you're doing business with Bank of America, and you know they gotta pay money to each other, they can just pay each other in Bitcoin, and they don't have to do any exchange fees like at the border or whatever. They don't have to pay any middlemen. They'll just say, okay, here's the electronic transaction. We're gonna clock this in at however many Bitcoin. That's the exchange we're all done. And then they can exchange the Bitcoin for them in the local market. So there you go. What does a bank do with Bitcoin? That's where it gets interesting. So I haven't heard about anybody like lending out money in Bitcoin. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, here's your 10,000 Bitcoin loan. There's no way to say that they couldn't do that. But one of the advantages to cash, especially with the banking system, is like you get a paper trail. And like the point of Bitcoin is no paper trail. So if it just is generating a paper trail, it's just banks moving stuff around. They do that already. Money's pretend. Like, right off the bat,
sure.
Cryptocurrencies are no less pretend than the money that most money moving around is. There's way more pretend dollars floating around than there's, like, real currency. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, sure.
Every piece of, like, currency in the United States, like, every physical piece of currency we have, that's not the entirety of how much quote unquote money there is in the system.
No.
Like there aren't like 10 trillion like physical dollar
bills. There's not a dollar bill for every person's wealth in the United States.
Right. There isn't trillions of dollars like that are like in vaults. And you know, when they talk about like quantitative easing, it's all a lot of like magic computer stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I'm not saying, like, cryptocurrency is fake and all that stuff's real, because it is all fake. It's all kind of mostly made up. It's just cryptocurrencies, like, positive is that it's not able to be tracked, except most of what we do in life, we kind of like having tracked. You know what I mean?
Sure.
You pay for your pizza to get delivered and the pizza doesn't show up, you didn't want your pizza or money back.
Right, right.
Like if you had crypto pizza, you could sell. Like you wouldn't extend this into everything. Well, I mean, if cryptocurrency is good, crypto pizza should be good too, right? You can't trace the pizza, untraceable pizza. But you don't want untraceable pizza. You want it to be traceable.
You want to be able to physically have the pizza and physically eat the pizza.
And physically eat the pizza, you want to make sure that it's showing up in your house and you at your neighbor's house. You know.
Sure, sure.
Stuff like that. So I don't know. It's one of those things that I see the pluses and the minuses. I do wonder if, you know, especially with, you know, a lot of, and I don't mean billionaires, but I mean a lot of, like, down rank and file folk, feel distrustful or, you know, ambivalent towards, like, the coming, maybe not so much necessarily Biden, but, like, other people that they feel, like, Biden is kind of, like, getting strings pulled by. Like an emerging socialist left.
Mm-hmm.
So what do I think would happen if there was like a real, and I'm not talking about like revolutions and gulags. I just mean like AOC gets a cadre of people together and like the tax rate goes up to like, you know, they cut deals and it goes up like 50% on the max. Or, you know, something high. I know they'll talk about 90%. There's not, that never, 90% of it gets collected. Take that off the table. People just incorporate it at that point.
Sure.
But let's say it hits 50%.
Do you think that AOC and, you know, her squad understand that about the 90%? Like,
No, I don't.
I do not.
I've seen it kicked around by so many people. I think they think that really happens.
They're like, yeah, we're getting the 90% as soon as right. People get this much money. And then, you know, they're watching the coffers and, wait, how come it's not hitting? How come it's not happening?
Right. But Jeff Bezos, his net worth went up. Yeah, his net worth in Amazon stock.
Right.
And as much as he cashes in that year, he would be taxed on. Actually, they'll just be cap gains rate at that point because that's not really income. It's
right.
Cap gains.
Right.
He makes some nominal amount of money compared to his worth. Yeah. So, but long story short, yes, I do think they believe that there was some time in U.S. history where somebody at the highest income levels, J.P. Morgan, I guess. I don't know. When did Carnegie die?
I thought it was like the 30s.
He didn't make it in the 30s, did he?
I don't know.
Oh man, I'm so bad on my history. Anyway, so whatever. Like, so magnates, right? I'm sure that she thinks magnates in like the 30s and 40s paid like 90% on every dollar after a certain amount that they earned.
Mm-hmm.
That just never happened. They didn't take it as an income. Well, when did the income tax come into? I guess that's the other question. When was their income tax?
Carnegie died in 1919.
There you go. He didn't even make it to the 20s. Income tax become law. When was the income tax become law? 16th Amendment was 1909. Ratified 1913. So that's when they started imposing a federal income tax. So he would have to pay that for like 6 years, I guess.
Right.
Yeah. No, they didn't pay. They didn't pay 90% of their income. Well, let's just put it this way: they didn't structure the money that came to them in such a way that it was considered income.
Right.
They did other things, such as this is a big thing like Hollywood would do, like. The big time Hollywood types would do this. You're getting paid $30 million, but it's a whatever, however much money it's, you know, back in the day, $30 million, like a billionaire, I guess, these days. But, you know, back in the day, you're going to earn all this money, but oh no, the studio is going to pay you $1 million, but it's a 90% tax rate. So after 100 grand, you're only making, you know, an extra 90,000 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to give 90% to the government. Nah, they just became a corporation themselves. And you paid, you know, the $1 million to Groucho Marx Corporation. Groucho Marx Corporation in turn paid Groucho 90 grand, you know, or whatever, underneath the income level. And then they didn't pay 90% because that's just never going to happen.
Right. Right. And well, this is what.
And anyway, no, I don't think she knows that.
And this is something that AOC would also say it was a loophole. This was
right. They would call it that, but I don't think they. maybe someone has explained it to her at this point, but from what I've talked to, I've seen some really smart people mention that and not understand that nobody paid that rate.
Right.
Like, it was just there as a as an executioner. Like, I don't even think they have expected to collect that rate. It's just this amount of money is getting. You didn't get paid that much, so they had to do other stuff. And that's all that happens. Anyway, realistically, she's not anywhere near that. I don't think she'd even get it passed. But I could see something crazy, like a 50% marginal tax rate coming in, like for somebody earning over like $1 million a year, we'll say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at that point, I think you start hearing about contracts being paid in Bitcoin.
Right.
Because they just don't want to have to pay if max rate, I guess, is 32. I don't know. Some 30%. I can't look at it. It's not what I'm paying. 38% or whatever. I think Biden wants it bumped up a 4% percentage points or something like that. anyway. If it went up by like 12 percentage points or 14 percentage points, very rich people are going to engineer how they get paid in ways they don't have to pay an extra $100,000 per million.
Sure.
They just will. $150,000 per million. They just will. So then it won't get collected. That's my theory. And if it's in Bitcoin, even if you're the most stringent socialist, you know, like you're Stalin, you're the Leninists, you can't catch it. That's the whole point. It doesn't have a trail.
Right. Right.
So not to say they are the Stalinists, but I'm just saying even if they were, it doesn't matter because there's this technology to do this. So interesting times ahead.
Yeah. So what do you think you think this is going to cause a, you know, a divide that, you know, if Biden changes the tax rates, you think this is going to cause a divide, or you think people are going to think that things are more fair? I mean, we always hear that things are not fair for, you know, minorities. They're always.
I don't think there's enough people earning over 400K that are going to earn people enough sympathy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I just. The thing that I think is going to happen with that is it's just not going to be this utopian panacea if we jump to his tax rate.
Right.
And I mean, I think the Democratic, more leftist Democratic wing gets that. That's why they stopped really. I don't want to say stopped. I mean, they talk about income tax, but the thing that you were seeing get floated by Elizabeth Warren and is starting to get kicked around a little more seriously is stuff that's like a wealth tax.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, you know, so seemingly there are people that say that, you know, that we're more polarized than we ever have been, that we are more, more isms going on than there ever has been, right? There's more. The minorities are less equal than they ever have been. That seems to be going around a lot now. I hear that. I hear that a lot. I don't know if you do or not.
No, I do hear
that. So I wanted to share a story that happened to me personally. I really don't know what to make of it all. My wife and I, we went to Walmart. I had to go get my glasses fixed, and we went shopping there. So I had to go to a specific Walmart and to get this done, because this is where I got my glasses prescription filled.
Yes.
Then we went, you know, did some shopping, and we went to go check out, and there was a. You know, it was a decent crowd there that day. And there was one of the setups where there was lane 12 was like the far lane down on the right side. And lane 11 was like this closer register lane, right? So I was talking to, I was on one register and I called my wife and she's like, I mean, this is going to be quicker because register 11 is quick. Okay. So I went down to meet up with her. As soon as we get there, the lady turns off the light and she's not taking anyone else. Register 11 is closed. So we're talking, this woman behind us starts talking. She's a minority, some Hispanic minority. And she's talking to us and she said, is 11 open or closed? And I'm like, no, we were thinking that it was open, but it's closed. So we get into this conversation about going to where she's going to go for the holidays and how she's going to visit her boyfriend and how her husband died. And we had this pretty good talk.
Yep.
And then we look up and lane 11 opens again. And the cashier calls us over. Calls us over first. And because this woman behind us had just a couple items, we let her go ahead of us.
Yep.
So she's doing her cart, and all of a sudden I hear a lady from behind me say, "Sir, are you cutting in front of me?" And I said, "Well, no." I said, "No, this lane was closed. It just opened up, and she called us over." And she said, she said, "You're cutting in front of me." And I said, "Well, no, actually, I was told to come over here." She's like, "You're going to need to move." And I'm like, floored. I'm like, "No, you know, this is just the line was moved over here." So I said, "No, I'm okay where I am. Thank you." And I just turned about to start unloading the cart. Well, that was the wrong move, I guess, because she takes to speaking out loud and say how she's like, "Here we go. This man just cut in front of me, and he's taking this. He's jumping ahead of me in line. And you know, this happened to me the last time I was at Walmart. It's happened again." And this is just a big shame of whatever happened. What's happening here? And she's like, "This guy right here is cut in front of me. Are we going to blah, 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 blah?" And so I just start unloading the cart. And she has the attention of this gentleman, 6'5" gentleman, listens to her. And then he comes up to me. And he gets into my personal space, much closer than the 6 feet, like inches from me. And he's like, "Sure. Did you cut her off?" And I said, "No, this lane opened up and I was told to come over here." And he said, "Get out of line." I said, "No." He's like, "You're going to move out of line now." And I said, "No." And he said, "You know what? We are not going to let this happen." And I looked at him and I said, who's we? He's like, "Me. I'm not going to let you people do this to us." And I said, "Who are you people? Who's you people and who's us?" And he's like, "Out of line now." No. And the lady said, "Don't worry about it. Don't beat him up over this. Just let it go. It's not worth it." And, you know, she's like, so the guy leaves and she's like, "You know, this white man, I could have got him beat up for this, but I let him go. It's not that big of a deal. The Lord sees everything." You know, and she goes, "He just did this to me because I'm black." And wow. Now I'm done.
So that all occurred. Nothing from the checkout person saying, "Yeah, I called them over."
No. And so I said. So then I have my fill, and I said. I said I was called over. It has nothing to do with race. This has nothing to do with race. She's like, yes, it does. You're a racist. And I said, no, I'm not. And I know I'm not. And she's like, and plus, you did it because I'm a woman. You wouldn't do this to a man either. And like, and my wife's upset because she's like, no, actually, I'm the one that came over the line because I was called over here. So I'm the one that did this to you, not him. And she's like, I'm not, and I don't like the way you yelled at me. And my wife's like, he didn't yell at you at all. What are you talking about? So the lady in front, that was the Hispanic lady, she finally got a manager to come over. And the manager, she's like, yeah, I was watching this all, you cut in front of her. And I said, well, you must not have been watching because this lane wasn't even open.
So what did the cashier say?
So I asked the cashier, I said, have you been open long? She's like, it's been a while. I'm like, a while, like as in 10 minutes, right? And she's like, something like that. I was like, well, you weren't open and you called us over, right?
Did she say that she did?
She did not want to. She did not know what to say. She said nothing.
Yeah, this is why I don't interact with people because they're useless. I mean, what did you get out of being ahead in line?
I was already ahead in line. That was the problem.
Right, but as soon as they said that, I would have said, yeah, my mistake. Because you know why? No one's worth it to me. Like someone attacking me and my family is just not worth it.
Well, I wasn't attacking anybody. I got attacked.
No, them attacking you. And that's what they're looking to do. An excuse to have that. I just don't give people excuses to have that. They want you to give that to them. They want the gift of that. And I don't participate in that. there's just that level of person in general. It's not black people or white people. It's just the level of person that feels invested in like a Walmart interaction is a level I'm quite frankly above.
So you're saying that I was wrong. I could have just
there's this right and wrong discussion that people.
You're saying I should have just avoided it.
Yeah. Because that's what people beneath me worry about. So they're the type of people that will always be at Walmart. They're the type of people that will always be looking for that level of boosting up of themselves. Because they will only ever have that level of boosting up of themselves. That's it. They'll get to feel big that day at Walmart. And that's why I don't get involved with those discussions. That's that type of person. And it doesn't have to do with class either. There's people of lower means that still aren't the people that get worked up about Walmart fights. The people who get worked up over Walmart fights are the people that will get worked up over anything. They're the people, you know, their neighbor. Mail shows up by accident, they get mad at the neighbor. There's a parking lot issue, someone's close to their car, they'll get mad at the car. That type of person. There's no win against them.
Right. I didn't even know I was in something. I didn't even know I was a part.
They're creating it. It's creative.
Right. I was just come over here, I let somebody ahead of me. You know, it was interesting that lady had no problem with the lady in front of me that went. She had no problem with that. She didn't make this an issue with my wife. She made this an issue with me.
Exactly. She got to. Because she got to make a promise. You're a plus to her day. You get to be that for her. And that is a huge segment of the population. Huge segment. That they want that. They want the chance to be offended. And I see it online. And again, this isn't just one political stripe. It's all political stripes. You know, they get to go off on somebody. They get to see someone who's wrong, and they get to unload on them. There's never been anyone I've taken seriously who's brought that stuff. I've never seen it happen, and I never will. Those people are always irrelevant and flipping out over irrelevant things.
Yeah, what if the guy that he just happened along and he just wanted to be a part of it too? He just
Right. He's never going to be meaningful and effectual in anything. He's always just going to be a guy who gets to flip out at Walmart. It won't ever be anything that matters. And most people, most times, unfortunately, kind of live at that level. And I'm long done, spent on the earth too long. They bore me. They're drunks at a bar.
Yeah, you know, and the problem is like, there was nothing, like, I wanted them to just come right out and just, you know, call me a racist, because that's what they were going to do anyway. I just wanted to hear it so that I knew that this was what was going on. I mean, I knew that was the card they played.
Yep.
And
well, even better would be that would be a bigger win for them is if they got to film you and make you look bad.
Yeah. I didn't see anybody with
the meaningful part of people who lead meaningless lives.
Oh my gosh. And the bystanders. Like, because she was the loudest person, because she got to lay the groundwork right there, she had the crowd. She had
a lot of people watching.
She jumped everyone jumped right on her bandwagon.
And she got to do that day. That was important to do. And it didn't matter. It didn't advance the cause of African Americans, black folks, whatever term you want. It didn't address any racial inequality, because it's just a matter of who got into line when. It didn't matter, but to her, it felt like it mattered.
Yeah, and she felt
and
she
that feeling is what dictates most people's like thinking.
And she got to feel better for that moment. And she probably went home and went places throughout the week saying how...
She talked about the guy that got in front of her at Walmart. Like it mattered. And it had no impact whatsoever. And it won't ever have an impact. Because there's no objective impact to being behind somebody at Walmart. It happens all the time. You are going to be behind somebody at Walmart. It just happens. So it's not anything like she couldn't check out, or maybe there's another line that could have been open or whatever. You know, it's not like if you want to complain about police treatment, unfair treatment, that's one thing. There you go. I was treated unfair. I was given a harsh sentence. I was pulled over. I shouldn't have been pulled over at all. Whatever. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a daily activity in life. That's going to happen. You're going to stand in line. Something will work. Doesn't matter. You know, it wasn't a separate line, you know, that only black people could go to. You know, you weren't in a whites-only store.
Right.
It's just Walmart. And, you know, for whatever reason, you were in line ahead of her. And that's that. You paid for items ahead of her. Yeah, that's why it's just the type of thing that just I.
Right. And
I'm dealing with, and you know, it's like COVID-19 has made me only more done dealing with this type of thing. Like I see it online. It's like people, especially around Trump and all this, and like, I can't believe this person said that. I can't believe this person. I don't care. if they died tomorrow, you wouldn't care about them.
Yeah. Well, okay. So anyway, the thing is that, I mean, she was decrying racism.
Sure she was.
And there was definitely racism going on there. But it wasn't against her. It was against me.
Well, that's what we're going to get into the whole what's racism discussion. And yeah, I don't know if that's worth it either. She's animosity towards white people for sure. And she got to unload on it on you.
And she got somebody else to unload it on me too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you got to participate. And that's the type of interaction you can have there. All that there is is the interactions you can have with people. People can rate it however you like, and maybe she got the better of you because she made you look bad at Walmart. I'm going to posit that there's no meaning to looking bad at Walmart.
I called
the store.
The store manager. And I said, you know, it was bad enough that I had this woman screaming, you know, and making a crowd and
yes,
making a spectacle of herself and calling me out for something. That was bad. And then it was worse that somebody got in my personal space, you know.
And that's bad. That's a threat of violence.
And that was that. And he was very hostile towards me. Mm-hmm. That was also.
And they
bad.
Didn't do anything, did they?
And then the manager came up and she took a side.
She sided with the person who said that you cut in front of them.
Yes, and I just and she's sitting there screaming at me and saying all these nasty things about me, and I just said, "Yeah, I'm none of those things." And then the store, you know, the manager, she's like, "You're not to talk anymore. You're just to leave. You're just to get out of here." And I'm like, and I said, "Yes, that's exactly what I want to do right now. Thank you." And and I call the store and I'm like, pull the tape and figure this out.
Did they pull the tape?
I don't know. He said he was going to.
I would guess that you won't feel resolved or satisfied by your Walmart encounter.
No, but it makes me not want to go back to that Walmart.
I wouldn't shop there again.
No. Makes me not want to go there. So
yes, I would definitely avoid that Walmart forever.
Right.
And if I knew where that Walmart was, I wouldn't go there. There's Walmarts that I've had lesser interactions with that I avoid. Or shops that I've had lesser interactions with that I avoid.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's the type of thing that I'm... I think that's one of the things that COVID has taught me. I've my tolerance for people's like shenanigans has gone way down. Time's short on Earth, and to invest. How long does this interaction take?
Well, that's the thing. It was like, it was thrust upon me, mm-hmm. and the lady, the register lady, that you know. Didn't want to be involved. I felt like she took like 25 minutes to check me out. It felt like that long because every second was painstaking.
What were you buying? What were you getting?
I was
groceries and stuff.
Groceries, yeah.
Yeah. I would avoid that Walmart.
Yeah, I am.
Trying to get out. I would maybe try to. Try to find some of the higher end stores. Maybe just do Giant Eagle from here on out for your grocery shopping needs.
Well, I mean, it's because of the cost. But
sure.
It was just the
knowing that people want that makes me not want to give it to them. I'm an always take, never give. Kind of guy when it comes to most things. you want to give somebody a gift or a charity, that's one thing. But other than that, I'm an always take, never give. So I just don't give people that type of thing. I probably would have backed down because that person's not worth my time. I remember a woman. It was a very crowded Giant. It's our local chain, and she felt I had gone ahead of her in line. And I said to her like 3 or 4 times, "Man, did I go in front of you?" And she's like, "Look at me, miffed." I'm like, and then I called her out. Like, this is when I was trying to be a little more aggressive than I think I should have been. I said, "Ma'am, you're standing there not saying anything. I'm asking you a question now. Did I go in front of you?" And then I think she felt stupid at that point and said yes. It's like, okay, well then go ahead. It's a crowded room. I didn't know. Mm-hmm. And then she sort of like sauntered on ahead. At that point, I just would have gone Kit Kat, like in my bothered mentality, because I've just had it with people's petty little garbage, and that's what that was. Like, serious decries of racism have to do with something that impacts them. If it didn't impact them, it's not a serious decry of racism. It's just somebody feeling that they got chipped at a store. The same way white people can feel that someone cut ahead of them, and back and forth. I remember seeing a black and white woman fighting over a child's costume at a Party City, maybe, or something like that, calling each other names and things like that. And that was like one of these times it kind of framed in my head that, yeah, there's just a certain type of person I don't want to be. I don't want to be the person yelling about a costume at Party City. And there's just no point to it. So, because, I mean, like, in some of their heads, they were, like, wondering if they're the one who was right or wrong. And ultimately, it didn't matter because it's a costume at Party City. And so many of the, like, fights I'm seeing online about, like, politics and things like that, none of it's going to matter about 6 months. Your Walmart interaction will be a negative interaction about 6 months from now. You'll think about it maybe a little bit. It's not going to have a big impact on your life, as it shouldn't. It might be a big deal for her because, again, she's the type of person I think is the type that obsesses over these types of things. She gets to go off on somebody. She'll be the time that guy walked in front of her at Walmart. It would be a big deal for her, a big event.
And then she had to call off someone that was going to beat me up.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And save my life.
Yes. Like, I want to lead the life where the Walmart line wasn't like my line in the sand. You know what I mean?
Right.
I want to have an important enough life that what happened in the checkout line order didn't matter. I hope to. I was sympathetic with the, you know, the guy trying to attack you. It sounded like the Walmart folks didn't do you much of a favor. If you got assaulted at Walmart, people wouldn't be saying, "Wow, this is really emblematic of a problem between, racial animosity." You know what they would say? A couple of idiots got in a fight at Walmart. That's what they'd say. Because most people hear Walmart and then they know the whole story, which is, you know, people they're considered low class. Everybody shops at Walmart, but that's not what the perception is. So I'm never going to draw my line in the sand at Walmart. I remember there's a guy that was kind of threatening me and my wife at a mall, a crowded mall in Columbia, Maryland. And it's the same thing. It was holidays, it's packed. And he said she jumped ahead. And, you know, who knows? These lines all messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's implying that I should have been keeping her in line better, and all this stuff. And again, it's another interaction that that's his big day. That was his big day.
Mm-hmm.
He got to yell at somebody in a line at a nice mall. That's what That's what matters. I just have bigger fish to fry. And it comes from a superiority complex that I kind of wish I had earlier in life. Because I feel that I did get caught up in these, like, power struggles. And just in the end, they don't get you anything. Like, they don't pay the winner. They don't pay the winner of these things. That woman's not gonna. She's not like chief resident somewhere.
No.
Yeah.
No.
She's not CEO of a bank.
No. No, she's not. You can tell.
You can tell, and it's I don't mean this racially because it's about the white guys threatening me at the mall. You know, it doesn't matter.
Right.
They get to feel big. They feel tough. And I'm just done with that type of person anymore. And yeah, I'm sorry I had to go through that.
Well, you know, it's the point is that I felt like, you know, I felt like I did something wrong. In the end of that,
you jumped into a line that someone called you over to.
No, I don't think I did. I don't think my actions were wrong. The line.
They
I think
you feel wrong because I say you're racist and in a big crowd.
Yeah. Right. And I could have avoided it by just saying, "Fine, go ahead to me. Go ahead, it's fine." You know, but at that moment, I did.
You get your hackles up. I get
it. Right.
I'm doing this.
And
how dare you say that about me?
And whenever the other guy can't got in my face, it's like, you know what? If I was gonna move, I'm definitely not gonna move now. I am. No. You are not going to... I'm not going to be bullied by you. All right, we'll be back. Thanks. We'll be right back after these words.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
She travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
Or by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
You're what?
Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
The future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain. As free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
All right, thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Thank you for the applause. Hey, welcome back.
We are back. And thank you, Revolution Radio, for providing home the polite gunfight. Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Please, please consider going to freedomslips.com and making a generous donation to support not just this show, but any other show that you might be listening to on the fully listener-supported radio station, radio network that is Revolution Radio.
Yes, and thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. So we were discussing interactions, social interactions, and I think you were making a bigger point of what does this mean? Are we more polarized, divided
as a country right now? Right. And I was sitting there I felt like an idiot.
I feel like I could have had that interaction at a point in my life.
Yeah. You think so?
Oh, God, yeah.
From in Pittsburgh or in Baltimore?
Baltimore, anywhere.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
I mean, I've seen similar such interactions like throughout my life.
Okay.
And so I don't think there's anything new about like 2020 that someone would go off like that.
Right, and the idea that you were going to make any headway, I could have made any headway, that I could have, found a friend in the darkness, in that situation, if I had said, hey, take my line and use my card too, right? I mean,
that wouldn't happen. You would have just said, see, he knew we couldn't from you. You wouldn't get any boost.
Right.
It was lose-lose, yeah, for sure.
Right.
Exactly. I feel I haven't said enough negative about that. They're offering you nothing. The people are getting in a fight with you at Walmart because that's the highlight of their day. There's no positive to them for you. It'll all be negative. So, yeah, no, there's no win-win situation there. Your lowest losing bet is never shop that Walmart.
And there's one thing I left out of the story.
What's that?
That like I wanted her to think. I don't know why I did this. I didn't feel guilty. I didn't feel like I owed her anything. I didn't feel like I did anything wrong. Nope. I did feel like I was accosted. But at the same time, I bought her stuff, too.
You pay for her stuff?
Mm-hmm.
How'd she react to that?
First, she's like, hold up. Are you buying my stuff? I said, yes. I don't owe you anything. I don't feel I need to. I said, you don't know me. I said, but But I'm a very good person, a very patient person. I'm raising a 2-year-old in foster care.
Sure.
I took on an 8-year-old who is horrible to me, and she's horrible to be around. And I'm
you're bearing that burden.
I'm bearing that burden. I don't have to do any of this, and I don't have to do this. I said, so you got me wrong. Have a good day.
This is after the manager interaction?
Yep.
Wow. And what did she say to that? Thanks?
She said, thank you very much. Have a Merry Christmas.
Well, that's what that got you.
Yeah, but when she went up, she was still she didn't forget about it, I'm sure.
No, she didn't. Of course not. That might not even come into her story.
Right. Or if it did, it was because I was guilty and I knew I was guilty or something.
And then, because he knew he cut me off, he paid for my groceries because he felt so bad about it.
Right.
That's all that was. And right. That's what the manager says about it. See? He knew. Paid for her groceries.
I didn't feel bad. I didn't feel bad about it. I felt,
no, it doesn't matter what you really felt. That's the story they're going to tell.
Yeah, I know. And that was going through my head as I'm thinking, I'm like, if you do this, I mean, it was a split second. I'm like, if you do this, it's not going
to
get you
anywhere. I have no attachment to it.
Right. Just kiss
it. I don't say this facetiously, but I mean, like, if you think this was like a Christian thing to do, by all means do it. Because I know you're a Christian. So, if you feel that there's like a higher calling and all that, and, you know, that this is the correct thing to do in relation to like Jesus's teaching or, you know, your relationship with God, by all means do it.
I just thought this lady's hurting. This lady's hurting and she needs sympathy.
That's one way to take it. She might not be hurt. She might be fine.
I have no idea, but
right.
I have no idea. So that's just, and I'm like, yeah, your money's gone, and I hope you're happy about this.
Right. That's what I mean, I tell you. Like, well, like, you know, like, as long as you weren't attached to that, like, you're like, pow, it's either this or the, you know, that extra Nintendo Switch the girls wanted or whatever. Oh, no, this is better. This is the principle. I wouldn't.
Yeah. I know.
But that's me.
I didn't feel stupid about that. I felt stupid about just whatever. Just let her go. And that's, you know, I was thinking back that, like, how my mother would have handled it, how my grandfather would have handled it.
She'd have made a joke.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I know. And it would have all been diffused. My grandfather would have just said, "Hey, go ahead, it's fine," you know. But it was at that moment where it was like,
"I saw that light and got excited. Go ahead, I didn't see
that." Yeah, right. But I was like, it mattered. Like,
you put, that's the thing. You put meaning on it.
Yeah, because I was running out to get my glasses fixed. Mm-hmm. On my lunch break, and I told my boss that I was going to be back, and I'm looking at my watch, and things are getting, like, I'm out longer than I wanted to be out, and I'm like, I got this break in line.
You're going to grocery shop and get your glasses fixed, don't do that.
No, you can't. Exactly. Just let it go. Just leave. I know. So, I was.
But so you did pay that. Again, I'll say that it made no impact on her.
No.
She didn't reassess. The guy that wanted to beat you up would have just said, "Well, he should have paid for it and paid for more. She paid for mine too."
Right. So, right.
No sympathy nor respect from them, and you never will. Because that's, you know. Just the type of situation was. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Yes.
That's that. But so when it comes to the divide, let's divide the United States. As I'm seeing that, so you're seeing a lot of. Are you still? So are you on that the parlor?
Parlor? I'm on it. I mean, I don't.
Is it much of a thing?
There's a couple interesting things on there, but nothing all that grand so far.
I think Aaron's gonna stay on Facebook.
Yeah.
Mad as everybody is, I think that things are generally starting to calm down. There are some people that are like, oh, we don't think the election is fair, or on the left, like, Trump's still trying to steal it. It's kind of losing steam. I think people are 2020 down. See a lot more Christmas lights. People's, they're a little, still about COVID-19, but, finally some optimism around a vaccine. Take it there's at least optimism that there's an option for a vaccine. And I think people are a little burned out on just being up in arms. My theory is that 2021, when people finally get out and go out and about, there's going to be a lot of partying, a lot of drinking in the summer. I'm guessing. I was presuming we're all, we're all, the curfew is lifted by then, let's hope. It'll be an enthusiastic period of time. I think people will generally kind of look back on 2020 as like a dark time where it was kind of bad. And hopefully move past it. What does that mean as far as the political ramifications are concerned? I don't know. We'll see how Biden does. I think he's going to have a lot of problems. Dealing with getting the COVID-19 vaccine out, as anybody would.
What, about that?
Like, kind of economic stuff to deal with. Go ahead.
No, I mean, like, the virus was made, manufactured, developed in the United States.
Talking about the vaccine?
The vaccine. The vaccine.
Some of them, not all of them.
Well, the
Johnson & Johnson's and Moderna's was.
Right, and it also was, what's the other one?
Pfizer wasn't.
Nope. But.
The one in the UK, which is not Pfizer, that's somebody else's. That's also not to do with us. Not Operation Warp Speed. But two were, J&J and Moderna, I believe.
Yeah, UK has their, they're getting theirs out faster than we are.
Yep, smaller country. It's 30 million people, 38 million.
Well, not only that, but the it was fast to it was warp speed to develop, but then the FDA turned back into the FDA, and said, okay, we're gonna look at it, but we're not gonna look at it today. We're gonna meet together in about 3 weeks and go over this. I mean, they could affect.
They're coming out now. I mean, December's. They're gonna have people.
No, but they didn't have their meeting to discuss it until like just recently, just a couple days ago, when they could have fast tracked that 3 weeks ago. They could have fast tracked the meeting to discuss. Basically, they just had people looking at statistics, and they could have been on board with this much quicker. I'm just saying, we lost. The FDA lost us
3 weeks.
3 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to look into it. Yeah, COVID-19 panic delays FDA approvals causes CRL. I don't know what that is. I don't know what CRL is. This is in BioWorld. We want to make sure investors realize that this is not a CRL, but a deferral. They don't need to refile some kind of filing thing. I don't know what CRL means. I'm gonna look that up. Yeah, so paperwork and red tape, always fun. Clinical reference laboratory? But yeah, the there's a large scale NHS, Britain's National Health Service, vaccination program is going underway. As far as I know, everybody in Britain's got to get it. Like, if you're a UK citizen, you don't have like an opt out.
It's mandatory, yeah.
Yeah, because all health insurance. It's not health insurance. All health care, as far as I know, in Britain is meted out through this this NHS agency.
Mm-hmm.
And if something is determined to be like a cost savings measure, effectively for the entire system, like it's cheaper that you get everybody vaccinated than to pay for care, you're getting vaccinated. That's my understanding. So there's no opt out in the UK. So it's going to be an interesting population test to see what happens when they get vaccinated and what their vaccination rate is and what their infection rate is if they can get it done in like a few months. And we're going to be looking at least June, it sounds like, which is a real bummer. 6 more months of this crap. Not looking forward to that.
No. And Biden said that he's going to make national mask wearing mandatory.
Yep. I don't know how he's going to enforce that, but national masks are going to be the directive.
How is that different from what you're doing now and what I'm doing now?
I don't know. Well, so I know a number of people don't wear masks.
But you can't go into a store without wearing a mask around here.
No, yeah, most places will refuse your entry if you're not wearing a mask.
Right.
Yeah, as far as I know, what they're saying is there are a number of places where that isn't true. That people are not following the mask mandates and they're getting sick. In particular, it was large indoor gatherings. I guess it was bars and restaurants that were skirting the limits, they say. And it sounds like what they're giving. So I don't even know what that means. There's a federal mandate. Because there isn't like the federal mask police.
No.
Like, just because you make a law doesn't mean it's like enforced. So I don't know what you do with that law. So let's say you pass an amendment that just said during a public health crisis you have to wear a mask. So say the United States. So what? I mean, and I say this is somebody who wears a mask everywhere.
No, right. But a federal.
So you pass that. The natural question word I would ask afterward is well, and
is that going to.
What does that mean?
Is that going to be the 11th office of the FBI?
Yeah, right. The mask office. Mass is going to be busting, flagrant mask non-wearers.
The ATF mask police are going to come out.
Yeah, amped. Yeah. At MFers, I guess, maybe.
Alcohol, tobacco, firearm, mask wearing.
Mask wearers. Non-mask wearing.
Non-mask wearing division.
Yeah, that's it. What do you do? What does it mean?
It seemed like he was going to compel the governors to uphold that. So that'd be like the state police.
That isn't like a thing that they can do. that's one of the, that was one of the things that sanctuary centers were doing. Like, it's effectively saying, well, it's a federal statute. Go ahead and enforce it. Send as many federal officers in here to enforce that statute as you like. And that's the obligation of the federal government. It's your federal statute. Go ahead and enforce your law. So do I think governors that are of a Democratic bent will be enforcing it? Yeah, I think they will. Those are probably the states where they already had certain requirements anyways and probably weren't seeing as many outbreaks. what I think Florida's going to do. They're not going to enforce a mask mandate. They're going to tell Disney World to make sure to tell people that they're wearing masks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not going to arrest anybody at Disney World for not wearing a mask. I just don't think they will. And the bigger thing is going to be, supposedly there's going to be another stimulus package at some point, $900 billion versus $500 billion maybe, I don't know.
Millions. I thought it was trillions.
900 trillion?
No. I didn't say 900 trillion, but I thought it was still.
It's 908 billion on the Democratic side. Mitch is going for less than that. I have to check it out. Stimulus. He is not supporting the $900 billion stimulus.
Okay. No, I thought the Democrat was. I thought they were like 1.5 trillion. I thought that's what they wanted.
No, they were. No, they for sure were. But it's been cut down.
Okay.
It's been the $908 billion is the compromise bill. I'll put it that way. Is the Democrat compromise bill?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there is some bipartisan support for it, but Mitch doesn't want that. I think he wants five.
It seemed like the Democrat side had too much pork in it. I mean, it wasn't just about helping people make rent, and you know, it had
a lot to do with state related aid, and they'll tell you why they needed it all, and the Republicans will tell you why they didn't.
Well, there was also like committees where you had to have. In one of the Democrat bills where you had to have like this, every company had to have a committee to make sure that it was like diversity committee for the pandemic or something like that. I didn't see.
I have to read the text. And, well, I mean, there's a lot of different bills that get floated around.
Yeah, well, this was the one.
Sanders was going for like a really because he doesn't support this bill. Bernie Sanders does not support the $900 billion bill. It's not enough. It's a compromise bill in his eyes. So he wanted more. And let me see what he wanted money for. He wanted... Fox News share this. Democrats held up coronavirus relief. They sure did. They were trying to get quite a bit more money. Bernie Sanders on Monday criticized Democrat leaders for getting behind the smaller $908 billion coronavirus relief package after representing the $1.8 trillion proposal. Nancy Pelosi was going for a $2.2 trillion bill at the time as well. So they were talking about like really big bills. Now that Trump's going out, I think it's coming down quite a bit because they there's a vaccine on the way, so they don't want to overpay, which makes sense. What was in the $2.2 trillion bill?
Yeah, that's what I was looking.
Trump administration latest $1.8 trillion, and this was back in October, way back when in October. So we're down in half to what they were proposing. Was a $1,200 for adults, grant for children, unemployment benefits up to $400 a week, and additional funding for state and local governments. Offered your criticism for the Democrats who gave Trump too much power in determining how the funds were spent. I don't even know what that means. I know there was a $400 billion difference between the two bills, and it had to do with whatever partisan fights were going on about who needed to do what. I think it's long overdue. The report I read that going into the Christmas holidays was that there was, God, was it 50 million Americans? Or 2 months more behind on rent.
Mm-hmm.
So had they taken the one, or millions of Americans, this is Washington Post, this is not like this isn't a right-wing source, you know, this is something they have to contend with. Nearly 12 million renters owe an average of $58.50 on back rent. Last month, 9 million renters are behind on rent. So it's growing. There's a stalling out on unemployment.
It's running out. Yeah,
it's running out. People are worried about getting evicted right after Christmas. I would have preferred to take the deal. I think they put a lot of people behind the eight ball. Now they're debating half of the money that they were looking for in the original set. I still wonder. People talk about all the whatever legal changes that happened with the elections and whatnot. One thing that I do think may have been influencing all that was they did not want to have an October surprise of another like $1,000, $2,000 check in the mail from Trump 2 weeks before the election. I will probably go to my grave thinking that that was a decision.
Yeah, and that's a shame.
I mean, maybe not. But again, you know, they wanted 1.8. Trump's position was 1.8. Theirs was 2.2. Now we're down to 900 and maybe about 500 on the Republican side. Have factors changed? Yeah, a bit. But I mean, we're talking about October 20 to December. What are we? 8?
Mm-hmm.
Not that long. 50 days.
Right. 49. Right.
Did everything change that much in 49 days? So I do really believe maybe it wasn't even conscious, but I'm guessing it was.
Yeah, no, I think it was political.
I didn't want to have another check, another debit card, another deposit with a letter saying, as brought to you by Donald J. Trump.
Right. Right. No, I agree. I agree. It was political. I don't see why not.
And they were definitely holding out for more money, so I'm not saying that that's not the case. But everyone's playing hardball. So I have to assume that like all the hardball parts of the equation were factored.
Mm-hmm. Well, so
the question is why? Maybe why they didn't try to, like, Mitch was playing hardball too. And, that's another question mark for me, like, why the Republicans didn't go say, F it, let's just go get this money out and let's win.
I don't know, maybe they didn't want to take all that much more money out, get us more in debt.
Maybe.
I mean, it didn't seem to bother them for, you know, during Obama's presidency, they didn't seem to care much about the, you know, whether they believed in quantitative easing or not, or
is that for the Dems or the GOP?
The GOP.
GOP doesn't care about when like Bush was in power. I'd say they fought it when Obama was in. They let the default happen. But
but I mean, they still let unbinding resolutions happen. They still didn't demand a balanced budget from, you know.
Oh yeah. I don't believe that their GOP deep down believes in a balanced budget.
No, I don't either. And that's what bothers me is the GOP are the bad guys all, you know, they're the bad guys all the time to the left, even when they're pretty much doing exactly what the left wants them to do. You know.
No, they don't do what the left wants. Because the left would want them to drastically reduce defense spending. I mean, that's if I'm going to say that there's two major I don't know what to say, like expenditure things that are in play right now that the side's champion. It's really heavy defense spending on nominally by the right. And then the left is big healthcare, right? They want healthcare spending. And then maybe it's Social Security. So that's the big fight over money. I think you could convince the Democrats to cut defense spending by like 2/3. Like they'd be like no problem. They'd have no problem doing that.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that. You know, the arguments I hear are, you know, a F-15 jet cost whatever. $80 billion.
It's F-35.
What's that?
It's F-35, and that's because it's a cost overrun project. It doesn't matter. It costs $1 trillion.
Yeah, but that buys a lot of free education. You know,
mm-hmm.
We spend that money on education. We don't need that jet up in the air anyway. We don't need to. We don't need it anyway. So then. We get a better service everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean that's what I hear the Democrats say.
That would be their argument. I'm not saying it's correct or not. I'm just saying that would be their argument.
Right. Right. that you know, we spend too much on defense. We don't need that much defense. And right. Well, I mean, obviously, I wouldn't agree with that argument. I don't think that that's a good argument. Sure, maybe, you know, I think our military has gotten more efficient. We're using less manpower and woman power to...
So what's interesting to that point, though, is if there was any Republican president who has been counteracting the Republican position on... No, we need to project force. We need a worldwide military presence. Especially in this past month, it's Donald Trump. He's accelerated the move out of Somalia, accelerated the move out of Afghanistan. You know, they're saying for any number of reasons, you know, the thought, it's ironic to hear, like, Tammy Duckworth saying, well, he's undermining Biden's worldwide presence. It's funny to hear that because if Sanders took office, I absolutely think he'd be doing it. If Bernie Sanders has gotten elected, there's no way he wouldn't be cutting back on overseas military bases.
Sure.
I've seen left-leaning and, you know, if not Democrat, I mean, like, formally, like, people that will say that they're the very much the left of the Democrats referred to the Pentagon and like Department of Secretary of Defense strictly as like being in charge of war crimes.
Yeah, right. Right.
So what else would you do but bring the bases out of the foreign countries? What other maneuver would you do? Nothing, of course. If it's all just war crimes, if it's all negative, if the armed services is only bad as is right now, you don't have people overseas. Period. The idea is that it's colonialism. You're doing it in a negative. It's you know, modern day vassal states. That it's all negative, and I do believe a significant portion. I'm not going to say all of them. I'm not going to say everybody, but a significant portion of the Democratic electorate considers. All military spending and all military wars probably since World War II to be a complete financial and moral failing on the side of the United States.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I mean, is that so? Is what Trump is doing, is he not, you're saying, is he not doing what the Democrats would want to do anyway?
Trump is. Like, that isn't the standard Republican position.
No.
The standard Republican position would, like, Jeb Bush would not be, had he lost in one term, be pulling people out of Afghanistan. My guess is he just said more.
Mm-hmm.
The neocon, if you will, position was definitely about projecting more and more force from the United States, as the United States around the world. Trump does exactly the opposite of that.
And he's still wrong.
He said things that doesn't give it the same slant that the Democrats would have. Like, we should have charged Iraq. that's all right for you to say. But yeah, the action itself of demilitarizing, I think that's what the Democratic vanguard, the lefty vanguard wants. They don't want to have people overseas.
Right. So what? Right. Understood.
So I don't know why they'd be all that upset about it. Him installing new people, I mean, that's all about fighting. On the bureaucracy.
So what about the Iran nuclear deal? I mean, what's the idea behind the Iran nuclear deal and to Biden?
I think Biden believes that they will. I don't think he thinks. My guess is I think he, and this is all conjecture. I think both Obama and Biden feel that it's inevitable that Iran's going to get a nuclear bomb. I think their position is you can delay that for the longest period of time by having them as a participant in the world market and essentially being kind of like they're their own kind of neocon. So make no mistake, both of them believe in like business. Like they really do fit a mold pretty similar to Bush's. They believe in business more than Bush. I shouldn't say that. They believe in business more than like Cheney did. Cheney absolutely believed in the guns there. Like you needed to shoot Osama bin Laden.
Right. So why? So what's the money? What is giving them money? How does that?
They'll get the oil.
What's that?
Iran would get the oil. That's what the nuclear deal is all about. They believe that if they get them to sell oil, they'll want to participate in the world markets to the extent that it would minimize and. I think that's the key thing. I don't think they really believed that they were going to stop the program, although he did do Stuxnet, I think, to show them we would always be attacking their facilities should it come to that. But I thought they were trying to send the message, see, you can participate in the world markets, you can get your money, and it'll be enough of an incentive that you're not going to openly create a nuclear missile the way North Korea did.
And that's diplomacy? I mean, that's...
That's diplomacy, yeah, sure. It's diplomacy. I'm not saying it's good diplomacy, but that's... It fits.
Yeah, right.
Provide people enough of an incentive that they do something else. I mean, whether or not it happens that way is a different story.
Yeah.
Israel, most likely Israel, target one of the Iranian nuclear program scientists or plotters.
When he killed them? You mean killed the Iranian nuclear scientist?
Yeah. Just recently.
Oh, yeah. It was like last week, right?
Yeah, last week.
So yeah.
That's another way to do it. I think they did that before Biden came in for a reason.
Yeah.
I think... And I do think they did. I don't think it was anybody else's. This is a message that Israel was sending to Iran. Because Iran has made some pretty dangerous comments to Israel.
Yeah. So,
that's the situation.
Iran doesn't want Israel on the... Iran does not want Israel on the map, yeah.
They fund Hezbollah. Not Hamas.
Right. So, I mean, is there not, I mean, is that not a, is not not a just measure? I mean, supporting Israel, is that not the right move?
Depends who you ask. There's a lot of Arab states that are starting to come out and openly support Israel. I think but the ongoing tensions of the region aren't good. I think what you have in Iran is a is a dictatorship that really needs to make the outside world the enemy.
Right. Right.
Keeps them in power because they've got a lot of internal stuff going on that they don't want to face. Their own protests.
Yeah, they do.
That was actually Bush's original take. I wish he didn't label them as the axis of evil. But his original take was that the Iranian people were starting against the dictatorship, and he is right.
Yeah, you know.
Same with North Korea in a way.
And Israel and Iran. Is not a safe place.
No,
I know somebody that I worked with, and they were from Iran. They lived there. They were in the Iranian military, and they broke out. They broke free. They got out. Them and their siblings all came to the United States, and their parents stayed. Their parents stayed in Iran. And, you know, like I said, they were lived there, grew up, came to the United States after he served his military, stint in the army. And then he went over there to visit his parents and said, yeah, we're not going over there anymore. It's not safe. Iran is not a safe place anymore. And, you know, he feared that he was going to get, going to get imprisoned and put in prison for whatever reason, and this was this was his home country. So,
yeah, there are Iranian apologists in the United States that don't face up to what that regime's all about.
Right.
They will they'll decry what the United States does in the world, but downplay Iran funding Hezbollah.
Mm-hmm.
They'll say, well, we negotiated with the USSR. We did. And I'm not saying we shouldn't negotiate with Iran, but we should do it. We shouldn't do it with blinders.
Mm-hmm.
Who they are, who they pay. And it's not easy. What does that mean for Biden's presidency? I don't know. I don't know what he wants on it. Who's going to Secretary of State going to be?
Blimp? Who's Tony? Who's that? I thought it was Blippin.
Blippin?
Isn't it?
What a name.
Blimpkin?
That sounds like a subway order. I'm going to have the meatball Blinken, please.
Exactly, it does. Oh. Lloyd Austin?
Lloyd Austin.
Why Lloyd I should... Austin. Yeah, Lloyd Austin.
That's the Anthony Blinken, you're right. Blinken for Secretary of State.
Blinken, right. Because I keep on thinking that they're saying Abe Lincoln, because there's Abe Lincoln. Yeah, right.
Antony... Not Anthony, but Antony, which is going to bother me for years. Antony Blinken, defender. Wow, that's a funny thing. This is the New York Times, and they have Biden chooses Antony Blinken, comma, defender of global alliances, as Secretary of State. It's almost like it's a title. like as Antony Blinken steps down and becomes Secretary of State, who then takes up the mantle of defender of global alliances. It's like, Captain Planet does that.
Right.
Professor X is the new defender of global alliances. Captain Marvel will be stepping up after that. Then after her turn's done, Green Lantern will be the new defender of global alliances.
Right.
Like, how do you earn that title? Like, I don't get that. I don't put that on my resume. Aaron, defender of global alliances.
I think you can. Why not? I mean, he's going to challenge that. Prove that I'm not.
You know what drives me up a wall, too? When I see people younger than me, and I don't think they should be where they are. So I'm seeing, like, I don't know who this person is, but Mr. Sullivan, 43. Who's this Mr. Sullivan guy? Why don't you sort out the whole line issue at Walmart, Mr. Sullivan, and find someone maybe 10 years older to handle being the defender of global alliances?
Well, you know what will probably enrage you even more?
Yes.
More often than not, these people have not actually ever done anything.
I'm aware. They're
academia, right?
Well, and sometimes they're not even academia.
Yeah, right.
They're think tankia.
Yeah, right.
Which is way worse. Like, you at least have to put up with, like, writemyprofessor.com in academia. But I got a dragger. Got a dragger, and it wasn't right to do it when she was a kid, but boy. What does Chelsea Clinton do all day? What does she do?
I don't even think she has to do anything anymore. I don't think she's
don't you want to not need an allowance at a certain point in life?
You're right. But I mean, like, what
does she get? Does it literally say coattails in the will?
I think that she.
Her main job was for them, right? Am I wrong? Like, I thought it was.
No,
like,
I
remember lefties even bringing up that. Like, shouldn't they go do something else? Don't you have less of a Hunter Biden problem if you just tell them go manage Arby's?
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
If Hunter Biden was the Delaware. Highway gas station king, he'd be better off. I'm not saying anything wrong, but he very at least was involved in all that stuff. Like, he knew people in Ukraine, and like it was enough of a blemish that people caused questions. But if he was just the guy that brought sheets to Jersey,
yeah,
he'd be better off.
Yeah,
you know. Or Wawa to PA, whatever. Whatever direction of that religious war you want to go.
The Hummer to Market, whatever.
Oh, I'm not even talking about the Hummer to Market. I mean, he was the guy that opened the combined Taco Bell, KFC, Pizza Hut. You know, and
probably so. Christina
Ball. To name drop around Delaware there a little bit. You know, just, you know, lay down a solid bunt. Just get on base. You know, no need to get too exotic going around the world trying to cut some deal or whatever. You know, and that's, I think that's Chelsea Clinton's thing. I think she went to go work for the Clinton Foundation. I think she still does work for the Clinton Foundation. Because what is she going to go do? Like, she's Chelsea Clinton.
Did she get a law degree?
Probably, but I mean, she's not like, you know, she's not coming on, you know, because we're going to drag and we're going to say, oh, the people, they always get money for you. There isn't Chelsea Clinton, you know, folding her arms, glaring the camper, saying, have you been hurt in an accident?
No. She's not practicing.
But you know what? I'd have more respect for her if she got people claims against insurance companies by having the Clinton law firm.
Sure.
And it was her dad, you know, the boost dad gave her was Bill saying, and tell her Bill sent you. Like, I'd be fine with that if she made her money that way. You know, that's Bill Clinton's daughter. She owns a bunch of law firms that sue insurance companies. Better than doing nothing and getting allowance, if you ask me. And I think that's what she does. She does nothing, gets by.
So. Oh, she does nothing. She married into the person she married. Well, also
trust fund kid.
Yeah, he's also doing nothing.
I'm sure neither of them are up tonight and they're what I'm saying, hey, what's wrong? You know, it's my performance review tomorrow. neither of them are having that conversation.
Neither of them are having the how are we going to make this bill pay? How are we going to pay this bill?
They're certainly not having that discussion. They're not even having it's tight. I don't think we're going to do it. They're not even doing bonuses this year. They're not even having that conversation.
No.
Let alone, I don't know how we're going to make rent.
Yeah, this
when they say they don't know how they're going to make rent, they mean the show Rent. They might not make it in time because, you know, appetizers took too long at the restaurant they were at. That's what they mean by make rent. Although they would say Hamilton, I guess. It's not the show people see.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
that's the in show. Rent's not an in show. I don't even know if it's still out. So, yeah, you know. And I think that's sort of the out of touch image that people have about a lot of the people like on the elite and the Democrats. Whether or not it's accurate, it doesn't matter. I bet most Democratic people, just like Republican people, aren't sitting on tons and tons of money. But there's high profile people who are. Clintons are. The Obamas are now. They're not plenty of money.
Biden's are now.
What you know, I want to buy a ghost. Meaning, well, he could even buy a real ghost, probably this kind of money, but like the Rolls Royce ghost.
Oh, yeah,
even like you know what? I want to get a ghost. I'm gonna call my agent up and I'm getting something booked for next week, and I'll just pay cash.
Mm-hmm.
And that would all just happen. He would go to something, they'd pay him like $500,000, and you know, he'd do his charitable contributions and whatnot. Just go pay cash as Rolls Royce ghost.
I'm sure it'd be customized. Oh, yeah, it'd be customized too.
I mean, come on, you're buying Rolls Royce at that point.
Yeah, it's. But at the same time, I envision that the Trump kids, are actually making something of themselves. They're actually.
I don't know. I think.
You don't think so?
I think rich people are like, yeah. And Ivanka and Kushner run those circles up until the presidency. I think they're going to struggle with coming back into them now. If they had their druthers, they'd be back in New York society. I think they're looking to move down to, I guess, Miami now. But yeah, they don't. They're not trying to be like. They're not looking to do the Wawa franchises down into Georgia.
No, but I don't think that they. I don't think they have an entitled attitude. I don't think that they.
Oh my god! Yeah, they go to private schools. They hang out with entitled people. Of course, they don't think. Of course, they are. They have lots of money. Everyone's got a lot of money. It's entitled.
Hmm.
They don't work their way up from anything. Like if,
no, they, they're right. They,
like Martin Zuckerberg, like he came from well-off parents, but they weren't billionaires.
Right.
Bezos came from well-off parents, but they weren't billionaires. But that class, they've only ever known. Like, you know, I know that there's status rankings and people were worried about whether or not he really had an actual billion. He had lots of money. He inherited a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very wealthy people in New York City. And what they do is, you know, it's more about like a status thing. That's why it didn't matter that he declared bankruptcy on a casino. That's why, you know, these loans coming due, they're like, he'll just sell property. Like, he's not going to be trying to rent up a condo and worrying if like a check's going to come in. That's never going to be the Trumps.
No, he's not going to turn the deed over like a Monopoly and take his hotels down and.
No. I mean, he might have to, in the worst case, you know, I mean, it's so proper to pay it, but I mean, he's got property, so. Like,
yeah. Yeah, he's got more deed cards than Monopoly
10 Monopoly boards.
Yeah.
He's not worried about it.
Right, of course. But no, I don't think his kids are down on Earth. I think he was right when he was with the Erie. He said, I didn't want to be in Erie. That's for sure. Of course you don't want to be in Erie.
So what of the are we getting Biden's tax returns? I mean, I'm just curious. Are we going to get Biden's tax returns?
I thought we did get Biden's tax returns.
I will have to check that out. I thought that there's some gray area on how, you know, he happens to have mansions all of a sudden.
I think he released them. Biden's Oh, go look. Free it. People in the chats here are complaining about your dog snoring.
They are? She hasn't been snoring. She only snored for like 3 minutes.
I'm telling you, man. It's a divisive issue.
The dog's
if you not. Want to see the financial tax disclosures and returns of Joe Biden, they are on his website. He goes through 2019... And then Kamala Harris is there for 2019. He goes all the way back to 2016. If you're that concerned, let's see how much money they make. Because I'm interested. What did they claim? Looks like $944,737 combined between the two of them. $194,000 from pensions, $52,000 from Social Security benefits. Come on, I should give that to charity. What else we got? Line one is 517. Let's see, 7B. What is 7B? Oh, that's just your total income. Yeah, so it's, 985, and it takes off the standard deductions that Trump gave him. 4496 gets you down to 944, 737. Earned $1 million last year.
And we're all done. Hey, have a good night. Thanks for listening. All right, then.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.
Some people are complaining, some people love it. All right, we gotta go. Good night.